I did a video last week where I expressed my disfavor of what Chuck and Gayle did about diluting my shares by what looks like to be about a 10% in order to raise money, I guess, to keep the company afloat so that they could continue to pursue their lawsuits against Samsung, Micron, and Google. We have a lawyer who attends our stock talks regularly, hasn't been there for 10 weeks, and I probably should have pursued him more aggressively. So I did, and he came to our last Friday's stock talk, and I asked him, give me your opinion on Netlist relative to Samsung, Micron, and Google. And I want to share that with you. And then he also suggested that I share with you some other information that I've gathered. But first of all, let's say this is not financial advice. This is Kerry sharing his tribe's information with you so that you can make a better investment decision or lottery decision relative to Netlist. Let's get that done right after we say this is not financial advice. I'll put Nick on.
Best of Us Investors presents Kerry Griegmeier.
Let me do a point counterpoint, just like we did with Gabe, and I'm going to give you a different perspective. I'm not here to change your mind, but I'm just here to give you a different perspective. Because at the end of the day, we knew when we purchased Netlist, it wasn't about a sale of a product. It was an idea, a great idea that came from a small, innovative company that patented this idea, and they gave it to this company called Google and let them try it out. And said, no, thank you. And then proceeded to manufacture it in China. Okay. If anybody should be upset, it should be at Google, because it turned Google into a $500 million market cap, into a $1.6 trillion company that has 91% of the search engine market share. Okay. And it makes sense for Google to steal the patent and the idea from a small company. And why not drive them into bankruptcy? Let's take Samsung, for example. That's the biggest memory storage company in the world. What do? The exact same thing. And then we have Micron, one of the biggest semiconductor companies in the world. And they say, they look at Google and Samsung, and they go, why not me? And they stole it. Look, at the end of the day, attorney's fees can be expensive. I just read the other day, Donald Trump is paying $15 million a month in legal fees.
Wow.
Well, I did speak to a patent lawyer, and I asked him, what do you charge an hour to do patent work? And he's a litigator. And he says they charge anywhere from $750 to $1,000 an hour. And guess what? Chuck Hong has filed lawsuits in California, in East Texas, in Delaware, in Germany. And what are these big Goliaths doing? But delay, delay, delay. And, you know, Netlist needs money for their war chest, because the promised land is probably around 12 to 24 months away, and they need the cash to get through this litigation. So at the end of the day, when I saw Monday and Tuesday, we announced the dilution of the stock, I had to ask myself, what has changed here? Well, let's go through each one of the cases, and I'll do it briefly because I know not everybody's invested in Netlist, but a lot of us have been. So I just want to give you a brief summary of what's going on the litigation right now. Let's take Samsung, for example. A jury in California found them guilty of breach of contract. A jury in Texas found them guilty of patent infringement, a $305 million judgment over only a year and a half of infringement. And that judge just recently, last week, affirmed that decision and ordered Samsung to pay pre and post interest as well as attorney's fees. And yet they still continue to infringe from now to the future. And just really quickly, Samsung has taken that idea, that patent, and put it into 60 to 70% of their products. Okay. So, and there is no substitute, there is no alternative. And Chuck, in his conference call, if you listen to it very carefully, he said by the end of the year, this judgment will grow to $500 million, and by 12 months, $800 million. And if it goes for a couple of years where Samsung refuses to pay, it could be 5 to 6 times the judgment. Now, Samsung's appealing it, the one in Texas. It's going to take 12 to 18 months if they decide to appeal it. But that Judge Gilstrap has only been overturned 10% of all of the judgments that he has affirmed. And they're also appealing the California case. But that decision, I saw it, I was in the Zoom conference, that decision should come out in the next month or so. Micron is the, another player, and the same patents are involved, okay, that Samsung was found guilty of. And they had a claims construction last month. And just so you know, claims construction is the most important predictor of the outcome of a patent infringement case. And it's the magistrate of Judge Gilstrap who heard the case. And in the conference call, Chuck said that he believes that the magistrate understood and adopted all of the netless construction arguments in 16 out of the 17 issues. And their trial is coming up in January. And one more thing, the judge ordered Micron to open up their books so they can figure out the extent of the damages. And guess what Micron did? They refused to open up their books. And the judge has found them in contempt. And then finally, mark in your calendar, October 5th. That's another claims construction that deals with Samsung and Micron over that infamous 912 patent we know all about, that 15 years where that patent has been under scrutiny by the patent board, by the federal appeals court, by a judge in California who found summary judgment against Google. Yeah, that same one. Well, that's coming up pretty soon. And then there's a Delaware case. The patent board found the patents to be valid. And there's a claims construction hearing coming up in October. We got Germany, a September date coming up. They move quickly, a lot faster than we do here in the United States. And then we got Google. Now, if you remember, that patent, 912 patent, has been deemed to be seminal. And remember the definition of seminal. It is an invention so impactful that it creates or shifts the technology space. And just before there was a stay, just before Google was asked to open up their books, they got to stay until the Samsung Micron case has been resolved. And then finally, on that conference call that you listened to very carefully, they got a new product out, this DDM number 5, which is going to be the leading storage memory application for the next 10 years. So how do we conclude, Terry? I was excited after that conference call. I could give two shits about what they earn or their fundamentals. This is not about a product that they're selling. It's an idea. And, you know, I trust our legal team. Our legal team has kicked ass on everything for the last decade. The other side hasn't won a damn thing. They hired the best patent lawyer in the country. And if I were Samsung and Micron after that East Texas jury, I would be shitting bricks that this lawyer can bring to the average person out there how the David and Goliath story and be passionate about it. Okay. And by the way, we're up 105% year to date. So I believe we're on the right side of history. We need to play the long game. Yes, we took a 30 to 40% hit. Boo-hoo, okay? We got to know where the treasure is, and it's at the end of the rainbow, okay? This is an OTC stock, a penny stock, and they're not sophisticated investors. They're all these individual, non-sophisticated investors like us who get scared real fast if they interpret something as being very negative. And so I've always heard, and I've learned it from you, Terry, that you sell when people get greedy, you buy when people get scared. The stock is now down to $2 a share. This is not the time you run away. This is the time you buy in. Think about the long game and think about what the end result is. It is about the lawsuits. Forget about the day-to-day ups and downs. Focus on these events that are happening. I do say that we're probably in the fifth inning, okay? That don't expect it to hit a moonshot right now, but it's just a matter of time. I have 2, 3, 4 years. I'm going to wait it out and let the chips fall where they may, and I'm going to be buying at $2 and $3. If it goes below $2, I'm going to unload the truck up because the litigation is where it matters. How say you?
Can I ask you a question?
You've been here for the last 10 weeks.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, Robert.
Yeah. Do you know why there was a final judgment on the Samsung case, and he did not include 2 or 3 times the, for willful misconduct? Do you know why he did not do that?
I can speculate. Because
the trial, I believe they proved that it was willful misconduct. And he was supposed to rule on whether or not it was going to be 2 or 3 times the settlement amount. And as I understand it, there was a final judgment and he left it out. Is that correct?
Yeah, I can speculate on that. You know, I'm 10,000 feet away. But what happened is that Netlist waived the willful punitive damages. Now, why would they do that? Well, I could speculate 2 or 3 reasons why they might do that. Number one, this Judge Gilstrap, he typically will not give double or triple damages. His past history is 20% is what he's done in the past on cases. Well, that 20% comes to $40 million. And I think, I'm guessing, Netlist says, you know, we don't want to settle this case. And maybe they are in talks on settling the case. There are some issues. Legal issues that are pending, so I don't think that's going to be anytime soon. I think that Samsung's going to wait for some of these appeals that they've already put in. They're waiting for decisions, and this 912 patent is coming up next month. So I don't think Netlist, they're in talks to resolve the case, but more likely, you know, they want an agreement somewhere down the line with Samsung, and punitive damages is salt in the wound. And I think they just said, you know, it's not worth it. That's my opinion. But it was not the judge who decided not to issue punitive damages. It was Netlist who asked to withdraw that claim.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Geez, how do you get your information? That's great. Great to know. And you think it's like maybe 2 to 3 years out before, you know, there's going to be any kind of big money here, right?
I'm going to speculate. I'm thinking as a lawyer here, but not a patent lawyer. Okay. If I were Samsung, I just told you that this case, the longer they delay in getting this judgment resolved, the damages will start to increase exponentially. I told you it could be 3 or 4 times the damage in about 2 or 3 years from now. So I think what they're waiting for is the 912 claim, which is coming up, to get resolved. There is a patent review on the 912. Hold on one second. Sorry. There's a 912 patent that's being reviewed by the 912 patent is being reviewed by the patent board right now. And they have also appealed the contract breach in California. And again, I sat in on that on the Zoom call 2 months ago. And I do believe they'll come up with a decision. They believe that the trial judge in California made some kind of illegal error that was material. And so I think they have to wait for those issues to resolve and then see what happens to Netlist. You know, here we are. Netlist had raised $330 million. Okay. I assume to pay legal fees. In that conference call that Kerry listened to, they said that the market on the product that they're selling, which that hoped to pay for their overhead, was soft. But now it's the oversupply has evaporated, and now they think that they can start to sell this product to at least pay the bills, not the legal bills, but to keep the company solvent. And so I think there's more legal issues that have to get resolved to narrow down what Samsung's going to be owed. But most of these cases get resolved at this point. And I'll end it this way. Why would you steal something if it didn't have any value? Okay. You would steal it because it gives you great value. Well, there are 3 companies that stole it, and maybe they hope somewhere down the line they can get away with it. But right now, legally speaking, in the court, they're getting hit over and over and over again.
Well, isn't trial coming on the 912 with Samsung in April of next year? I thought I saw that somewhere. And aren't they doing preliminary like October, November of this year?
There is a great trial event scheduled by this guy Stoked and Stock Twits, who has a very detailed map of all of the events of all the occasion. I would defer to that.
Okay.
When the trial date is.
Well, you know, honestly, this has been good. I'm one of the people. I did get scared, and I was thinking of pulling out. I mean, you've made it a little more encouraging to maybe hang it out. But you know, I think if we're going to hang it out, it's really more for the lawsuit than for a company that's going to be making money or developing a lot of more products. At least that's what it appears to me.
And I have so much respect for Kerry. He went to a very prestigious Ball State University, got a great education there. And he knows, because he's done a zillion videos on this, it's all about the law school, the lawsuits. It's not about their product that they're selling. I looked at Chuck Hong in his conference call. You know, this guy's doing everything he can to protect investors like you and I to make sure he doesn't go belly up. And therefore, you know, the lawsuits go down the drain because he can't pay his legal fees, not because his claim doesn't have substance to it. All the courts have said, we agree with you. So it's, you know, stick with the lawsuits. That's what you should be watching, not the day-to-day affairs. To be honest with you, I don't follow the day-to-day events unless it goes up 10 or 15% or I get something on my phone from the company. Otherwise, I really don't pay too much attention.
What if Netlist goes belly up, Nick?
What's that?
What if Netlist does go belly up?
Well, usually what happens when a company cannot afford the litigation is that, you know, they go hat in hand to Google, Micron, and Samsung and say, please, I will drop the lawsuits if you give me, you know, 5 cents on the dollar. And those companies would be more than happy to pay 5 cents on the dollar. That's usually what would happen. And I believe that they'll have to compromise, not because of the meritorious claim, but because they're running out of money and they still have this new product, which in the conference call, Chuck said, is the next big thing, especially when it comes to, let's say, artificial intelligence.
Well, Nick, I'm going to blame my video on you. Because you haven't been here for the last 10 weeks to give us a lawyer's insight. I only have the ability to look at a company based on its fundamentals and the way they presented themselves. Now, so it's your fault, Nick.
Harry, I accept full responsibility.
Nick also suggested that I share with you the conference call, the earnings call that I listened to and read. And so I'm going to go to Seeking Alpha, and I'm going to take you there, and I'm going to let you read the transcript as you listen to the recording of their conference call.
Good day and welcome to the Netlist second quarter 2023 earnings conference call and webcast. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this event is being recorded. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Mike Smargiassi. Please go ahead.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Thank you, Alan, and good day, everyone. Welcome to Netlist's second quarter 2023 conference call. Leading today's call will be Chuck Kahn, Chief Executive Officer of Netlist, and Gail Sasaki, Chief Financial Officer. As a reminder, the earnings release and a replay of today's call can be accessed on the Investors section of the Netlist website at netlist.com. Before we start the call, I would note that today's presentation of Netlist results and the answers to questions may include forward-looking statements, which are based on current expectations. The actual results could differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements because of the number of risks and uncertainties that are expressed in the call, annual and current SEC filings, and cautionary statements contained in the press release today. Netlist assumes no obligation to update forward-looking statements. I would now like to turn the call over to Chuck.
Thanks, Mike, and hello, everyone. The second quarter 2023 product revenue increased modestly from the first quarter of the year. Results continue to reflect the continuing downturn in the memory market due to oversupply of components and lower demand. On the other hand, OEMs and hyperscalers are working through their inventories, and recent industry forecasts have become more optimistic. We believe the market has bottomed and anticipate sequential quarterly improvements in the company's top line over the second half of the year. As we look at the current memory landscape, there are exciting and transformational developments taking place in server memory. Netlist's IP is important in enabling these new technologies. First, DDR5. The industry transition to this new standard is underway, with Intel and AMD commencing volume production of DDR5 systems earlier this year. DDR5 is expected to be the prevailing memory standard through the end of the decade, and Netlist will benefit on the product side as we supply customers with new DDR5 memory. Netlist's innovative IP for intelligent on-module power management allows DDR5 DIMMs to perform at higher speeds than prior generations while using less power. This technology applies to all DDR5 DIMM form factors for enterprise servers, PCs, and laptops. Second, artificial intelligence. The rapid rise in applications utilizing generative AI has created tremendous demand for memory chips capable of performing parallel processing. This unique hardware allows for the concurrent processing of data, which is crucial for AI's complex computing models. In turn, parallel processing requires a special kind of memory technology, high bandwidth memory, or HBM, which currently has 8 times the bandwidth of traditional DRAM. To get to these densities requires that HBM, the memory, must be stacked. And once again, this is an area where Netlist's technology plays a key role. And third, MRDIMM, or multi-rank buffer DIMMs. This next generation ultra-fast DDR5 memory is being designed to double the throughput of existing DDR5 DIMMs, eventually delivering speeds up to 17,600 megatransfers per second. And while the standard for MRDIMM has not been finalized, the memory industry appears poised to once again rely on many of Netlist's technologies to enable MRDIMM's functionality. These new technologies are transforming the memory marketplace and provide a strong platform for Netlist's growth. Given Netlist's strategic supply agreement with SK Hynix, a leader in DDR5 and HBM, and our innovative IP, we believe we are well positioned to capitalize on these trends. This includes the direct supply of these products to the market and the licensing of our IP. In fact, all major memory players are calling out both DDR5 and HBM as strategic business imperatives. Today, the large memory suppliers are focused on a rapid move to higher end, premium HBM and DDR5 products to support the strong demand for generative AI. Eventually, the entire marketplace will transition to these new technologies and exponentially expand the opportunity for Netlist. On the legal front, I'd like to begin with an update on Samsung action before Chief Judge Gilstrap in the Eastern District of Texas. On April 21st, in a unanimous verdict, the jury in this case awarded Netlist $303 million in damages for Samsung's willful infringement of Netlist's seminal inventions. The case addressed Samsung's willful infringement of five Netlist patents covering three product categories: DDR4LR DIMMs, all DDR5 DIMMs, and high bandwidth memory components. Beyond confirming Netlist's entitlement to damages for Samsung's willful infringement, it confirmed that Samsung, the largest memory producer in the world, used Netlist's technology without a license in the past. As we speak, Samsung continues to accrue liability every day for willfully infringing Netlist's patents for products that will make up the bulk of its memory revenues through this decade. At the end of May, the court held a one-day bench trial that gave Samsung an opportunity to seek relief from the $303 million jury verdict. Samsung sought equitable relief from the jury's award for their infringing DDR4 and DDR5 products. We look forward to receiving the court's bench trial order and, importantly, its final judgment. We expect Samsung will seek an appeal of the court's judgment, but Netlist is confident in the strength of the verdict and the careful trial procedures the court used in this case. Now let me give you a quick update on our other global enforcement efforts. The case against Micron in the Eastern District of Texas, also before Chief Judge Gilstrap, addresses Micron's willful infringement of the same patents and same types of products that were part of the successful April Samsung trial, including DDR4LR DIMMs, DDR5 DIMMs, and HBM. On July 26, we had a claim construction hearing for terms in dispute by Micron. Prior to the trial itself, the claim construction is the most important predictor of outcome in a patent infringement litigation. On the day of the claim construction hearing, Magistrate Judge Roy Payne provided a tentative set of constructions. According to these tentative constructions received that morning, the court appears to have understood and adopted almost every Netlist construction, providing 16 out of the 17 terms at issue in Netlist's favor. We feel the hearing went very well and now look forward to the court's entry of a favorable claim construction order. Fact discovery for this case will close September 5th. With Netlist's opening expert's report due the same day. The final pretrial conference is currently set for December 20th, with the jury trial set to begin on January 22nd, 2024. In Netlist's second set of cases against Samsung and Micron in the same Eastern District of Texas venue, we've begun the claim construction process and are working toward the joint claim construction hearing set for October 5th. These cases are for infringement of large volumes and significant dollars of DDR4RDIMM and LRDIMM products being shipped currently and in the past. Related to the ongoing case against Samsung and Google in Delaware, the Patent Trials and Appeals Board found in Netlist's favor on its 523 patent relating to DDR4LRDIMM, determining that all claims were patentable. This Delaware case continues to move forward with claim construction briefing underway and a joint claim construction hearing currently set for October 20th in that court. You may recall Netlist's second case against Micron in the Western District of Texas was stayed last year. Netlist's third case against Micron in the Western District of Texas was stayed last year after reassignment to Judge Yackel, just days before the claim construction hearing was set to take place in May 2022. That case has now been reassigned to the Austin, Texas Judicial Docket 2 pool for cases following Judge Yackel's retirement. Our case now stands ready for reassignment to another Western District of Texas judge. Additionally, the PTAB denied Micron's petition to institute an inter-parties review of our LRDIMM 608 patent, and even more recently found that three claims of Netlist's 035 patent were valid in a final written decision. We await additional PTAB review decisions in the coming months and look forward to the reactivation of this case. In Germany, the Dusseldorf infringement court moved our case against Micron to 2024 in consideration of a preliminary order from the German Federal Patent Court. The hearing addressing Samsung's infringement of our EP735 and EP660 patents remains set for September 5th of this year, with the hearing against Google set to proceed in November. As always, Netlist remains open to licensing on a fair and reasonable terms with any party currently using our technology without permission. Finally, I'd like to say a few words about steps we're taking to ensure that the patent rights of Netlist and future generations of innovators are protected. On the previous calls, I've shared with you some of our efforts to engage elected officials in California and Washington, D.C. to help us highlight the challenges with current U.S. patent law, challenges that Netlist has repeatedly experienced firsthand. This initial outreach resulted in Netlist working closely with members of Congress to not only help draft important new patent legislation, but to provide support as the legislation moves through the process of becoming law. The summary of these efforts is the recent introduced Prevail Act. The Prevail Act would make it harder to invalidate patents over eligibility and would rein in the ability to use the Patent Trials and Appeals Board to delay or forestall inventive practicing entities like Netlist from stopping competing infringers. Under the Prevail Act, patent challengers would get just one chance at the PTAB board. They could no longer spread out petitions over time or engage in serial IPR attacks. We are thankful that congressional representatives considered issues facing innovative operating companies like us, and that they took the time to consider suggestions for reforming our country's patent laws. If enacted in its current form, the Prevail Act could go a long way to protect and promote innovation and competitiveness of American inventors. Now I will turn the call over to Gail for the financial review.
Thanks, Chuck. Second quarter product revenue and product margin results reflect the ongoing downturn in the market due to memory supply oversupply and a lower demand environment, which also resulted in price pressure. That said, as discussed by Chuck, the outlook for the overall memory market is improving. We believe we are well positioned to capitalize on the strategic SK Hynix supply agreement as the market rebounds. As a reminder, we do not formally guide, but given the market dynamics as noted, we currently anticipate steady growth in product revenue as we move throughout the rest of the year. We ended Q2 23 with cash and cash equivalents and restricted cash of $31.4 million compared to $36.6 million at the end of Q1. We proactively raised approximately $11 million under the $75 million equity line of credit during Q2, with close to $38 million remaining on the line. As always, we continue to maintain strong cost controls and very carefully manage the operational cash cycle, which for Q2 23 was an improvement of 80 days compared to last year's Q2. Operator, we are now ready for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Our question comes from Suji DeSilva of Roth Capital. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chuck. Good morning, Gail. So on the litigation, let's start there. For Samsung, Chuck, in the event that Samsung does not settle with you, can you just walk us through the time frame for how this would play out, the final judgment, the appeal, and so forth, so we can understand maybe what where the back end of all of Samsung's effort would be or if it would be ongoing?
Yeah, Suji. They have the appeal process that we're sure that they will pursue. We believe that we've got a solid verdict, and we will, I think, in over the next few weeks, we anticipate the Eastern District of Texas issuing a final judgment, and which will effectively validate or ratify the jury's verdict. And from there, they can pursue appeal of that judgment. But if they lose that appeal, then they would be responsible for willful damages on these products over the next year or two before the appeal is decided. I would note that the $300 million of judgment relates to only about a year's worth of shipment of products that are at the infancy of their ramp, meaning DDR4 and HBM products were kind of in the first half of the first inning. Those products will ramp rapidly over the next few years. So whatever the volumes were that led to the $303 million in judgment, those volumes will probably increase four, five, six times annually over the next few years. So they will be racking up enormous liability if they do not settle. So I think, you know, they are looking at all of that. We're obviously, working through our strategy on how to, how to get to a resolution.
That's very helpful color, Chuck, on how this liability for them kind of grows and kind of the urgency from that perspective. But how long would an appeal process, I guess, normally take according to your legal team? Just understand the time frames of that, kind of go from start to finish.
Well, the appeal would take place in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals for patents and copyrights in Washington, D.C. It depends on their docket, but, you know, usually a year and a half from the trigger, from the initiation of the appeal, the case would be heard.
Okay.
There are, as I went through, there are two other lawsuits against Samsung in addition to the one that we've just completed. One in Texas, which is coming to trial in April. Those are for different products. Those are for DDR4 LRDIMMs and RDIMMs, which actually make up kind of bulk of their shipment today. So these are different patents applying on different products. So it's, eventually through these suits, I think we will cover 60 to 70% of their DRAM output. Our patents will cover that. So it goes to the heart of their business, and it's a tremendous exposure dollar-wise.
Okay. I'm thinking two other cases. The other one's the joint Google-Samsung one. Just maybe clarify that. And then can you just talk about in that how the Google case lines up vis-a-vis what the finding for Samsung in the courts, and just kind of maybe summarize that for us. It would be helpful.
Yes, the Google case is in the Northern District of California, and the judge there decided that we should first go through our dispute with Samsung before, so the case is stayed until there are rulings in the Samsung litigation before that court will pick up Google case. Google has its own separate independent liability based on their building of memory modules for many years in the 2010s, throughout that decade, on which our patents apply. They also have liability because they purchased product from Samsung, and Samsung is operating without a license. So they have multiple liabilities. But those, the Google case is stayed and will be taken back up once the Samsung case is, regardless of whether we have a settlement, once the Samsung case is legally ruled upon, at that point, the Google case can be unstayed and pursued. Okay. But the liability, but the liability doesn't go away.
Understood. It's the clock ticks on that. I understand that. Okay. Then the on the product side, maybe Gail, the Hynix product we sell, Anchuk, is it more SSD now? Is it DRAM that you're reselling today with Hynix at these low levels? And how does the gross margin recover as the, which of those areas improve, and how does the gross margin track with that revenue recovery as you increase your Hynix resales?
It's mainly DRAM, Suji, but also mixed in is, are some SSDs. The gross margin will recover as we see demand picking up and, you know, inventories at all of our customers start to minimize, which we are starting to see today. But it's still not going to be overnight. But we do see improvement.
Great. And then thanks, Gail. And then one last question for Chuck. You know, the Gen AI trend, obviously, we'll be watching this with you guys very closely. You have a lot of memory technology that could be very important to that. Just trying to understand, Chuck, we've talked about hybrid DIMM for many years. Can you just talk about the NAND controller that kind of arbitrages NAND for DRAM, and if that technology or even the hybrid DIMM product itself in name has a play into this going forward, or have you kind of repositioned that technology in some of the new products you'd be planning to target Gen AI?
Yeah, Suji, I think, you know, that's an important part of what we're doing here in the R&D side. You know, we've been working on the hybrid DIMM use of using a lot of NAND to replicate DRAM performance for the CXL bus. So in the way you can distinguish an AI server from a standard enterprise server is that the AI server operates first off of a GPU, which requires hundreds of gigabytes of HBM. A standard enterprise server that's been around for 34 years do not require HBM. So that's one. And we have, you know, part of the win that we got against Samsung was on our HBM patents. The other thing is that in main memory, two other elements. So one is HBM. The other two elements are that main memory in an AI server is 4 to 5 times the capacity of a standard enterprise server. That requires then a move to high capacity, particularly MRDIMM. And there we are in a very strong position, with dozens of patents covering MRDIMM. And then lastly is CXL. As the AI servers, speeds go up, they will have less memory sockets, meaning that they will have to rely on CXL memory to pull data from. And that is where we're working on, we have been for the last 5 years, with a very large engineering staff, and we don't mention it on every call, but we've made tremendous progress there in creating a ASIC system on a chip, SoC, with software and firmware that can bring multiple terabytes of NAND that looks to the system and operates like DRAM. So we believe that we've got a very strong position in AI servers in all three fronts. IP coverage on HBM, MRDIMM, and then both IP and a physical product for CXL. And that technology, we believe there are not very many companies out in the world that are working on a similar technology. So that's the AI server front.
I appreciate the thorough walk over the landscape. Thank you, Chuck.
Sure.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Suji.
Yeah, thanks, Suji.
Well, that's a long way around the barn. I have never said that I was going to sell Netlist. I was hurt. I was disgusted. I was put off by the way they handled having the conference call, the earnings call, and then the next day announcing the dilution of their shares at $2.70, and then a warrant for another share that would be good for 5 years. I didn't like that. I went on a rant on it. But the long and short of it is I'm in Netlist. I'm in it for the long run. And if Nick's right, and I certainly hope he is, we'll all be buying a home on the beach. If this is the kind of information that you'd like to be a part of, and if you think you'd like to participate in our stock talks, go to our website, bestofusinvestors.com, and explore our avenues of you joining our tribe and getting on the bus.